to John himself, to Mary Magdalene that we know was there and looking at the scene from afar off, to Salome, the mother of James and John, to Mary, the mother of James the Less, to Joseph of Arimathea, to Nicodemus, all of these people that we know were there. I am sure to all these, the lifeless body of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross seemed like something too broke to mend. That life had been broken. And in seeing that broken life, we see that hope was broken that day too. 3 days after the crucifixion on a Sunday morning, like today, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome again, walked in the dark toward the tomb that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus placed Jesus' body in on that Friday afternoon before 6 o'clock. They had to do that because it was the Sabbath day, not only the Sabbath day, but it was a high, holy Sabbath day, being the Passover day as well. Now, on the previous Sunday, these same women may have witnessed Jesus in the triumphant entry just 7 days earlier. They may have watched Jesus ride in on that colt with the palm leaves being laid before him and Hosanna to his name being sung and him being praised. They may have seen those very events, and here we are 7 days later. They're walking in the dark to a tomb. Now Jesus is not riding a colt. Nobody's laying palm leaves before him. No one's singing praises to him. He is a lifeless body in a tomb. And all hope they may have had the Sunday before is as dark as the early morning those women are walking through. The love of these women is amazing. There's no thought. You know, they are so driven by love. I mean, they've been waiting for the Sabbath day to be done so that they can get there and they can go and take care of Jesus, the one they love so much. And they haven't even thought it all through. They're just focused on Him, on honoring Him. They haven't thought how they're going to get that big stone rolled away from the front of the tomb. They haven't considered that at all. They just simply want to honor Him by properly burying Him. As they walk there, surely thinking that these things are broken. The hope they had Sunday before is broken. And they're probably thinking it's too broke to mend. You know, we are told as well that while they went to the tomb, it was dark. But I think it's interesting that it says that when they arrived at the tomb, the sun had risen. Isn't that an ironic play on words? That the S-U-N had risen, but little did they know that the S-O-N had risen as well, right? On that same morning. There was no longer a need, though, when they got there, thinking that, you know, they did eventually come to this conclusion, hey, how are we going to move the stone? But, you know, they may have thought, well, there's no way we can do it. But when they got there, they realized they didn't need to do it. That the stone was not just rolled away, but it was thrown away. As Jesus Christ came forth from the grave, it was moved and they found that the lifeless body of Jesus was not in the tomb, but it was a living body that had risen. A little later in that same story, Mary Magdalene is there. You know, the disciples have come and they've left, and Mary's there alone, and she actually comes face to face with Jesus. And I love Mary. I love her because, you know what? What she thought was broken, what she thought she had lost on Friday, and what she thought was gone on Saturday, and what she thought was gone when she got up on Sunday morning, and as she walked to the tomb, she realized it wasn't gone, and she got a hold of Him, and she wouldn't let Him go. I lost You once, Lord, but it ain't going to happen again. And that's where Jesus says, now your Bible may say, touch me not, if that's the translation you have, but really the Greek word is cling not to me. She's got Him in a death grip, and He's not getting away again. He says, you got to stop clinging to me, Mary. I got things to do. I'm not done. I still got to ascend to my Father, and there's things I've got to get done before that comes. But the love of that woman who has now seen that what she thought was broken, too broke to mend, wasn't all that broken after all. And that with Jesus, anything can be mended. No, While oftentimes we view hope as broken, too broke to mend, we should remember always Gabriel's words to Mary, that nothing will be impossible with God. You know, there are times that we feel that our lives are broken. And maybe sometimes we feel like our lives are so broken that they're too broke to mend. And my friends, that's a mistake we make. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, Jesus quotes a prophecy about a broken reed, which He will not throw away. So now you could buy a reed, they were a dime a dozen, they were worthless. And so if you were making a musical instrument and your reed was bent or it was broken, well, there was no way you were ever going to make that musical instrument play right. So you would just throw it away, get another one, and start over. But Jesus says, if you're that broken reed, I'm not going to throw you away. I'm going to take you, I'm going to fix you so that you can play beautiful music. You're worth something to me. And while we may sometimes look at our lives, and some people may look at our lives as well and see us as worthless or broken, too broke to mend, Jesus never views us as too broke. And He longs to mend us like the broken reed. When we sin, our relationship with God is broken. But thanks be to God, it can never be broken so much that it cannot be mended. Jesus mended the broken relationships with His disciples. John chapter 21, you can go there and record the beautiful, where it records the beautiful restoration of Peter, that one that said, I swear I don't know Him. Jesus asking those three times, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. So He's not denying Him anymore. He's proclaiming His love for Him. Lord, you know all things and you know it. You know I love you. All pride is gone. All Peter is focused on is Jesus. And Jesus brings him back, mends his heart, mends that relationship that Peter, I'm sure, thought was completely broken. And He showed Peter that His desire was still for him to be in His kingdom. You know, unfortunately, Judas, while sorrowful, he erroneously saw his relationship with Jesus as too broke to mend. And when you look at that and you see that and you think that your relationship with God is too broke to mend, what hope is there in this life? What hope is there of anything if you can't believe that your relationship with God can be mended? And he was left with nothing in his own mind but to go out and to kill himself, to hang himself. I have no doubt in my heart that Jesus Christ had forgiveness. And that Jesus Christ had a willingness to mend his broken relationship even with Judas. It wasn't a failure on Jesus' part. It was a refusal on Judas's. Jesus wanted to mend him. Jesus spent time after time after time in the gospel accounts begging Judas to not do what he was going to do. Jesus tried. For us, Jesus Christ is what keeps our sins from making our broken relationships with God something too broke to mend. And I don't know what you have done, and it's not necessary or needful that I know what you have done. You just simply need to know one thing, that Jesus can mend it. That you are not so broken that you're too broke to mend. If you are living in sin, you are a broken reed. But Jesus values you, and He wants to take you, and He wants to repair you, and He wants you to be His, and He has a place for you in His kingdom, just like He did for Peter, who said, I don't know Him. You know, Jesus took Paul and mended his life and took a persecutor and made him a preacher, didn't He? He took Peter and mended his life so that he went from one who denied Him to one who was devoted wholly to Him and would die for Him. Jesus took Nathan and mended his life in so many ways and gave him the blessing. Proclaim His love, His goodness. You know, as long as you live, your relationship with God is not too broken that it cannot be mended. We just simply have to come to the one that does the mending. You know, also, while justice was broken that dark night, justice will be true when Jesus Christ is judge in the final day. He will provide the justice that he was denied. You know, Judgment Day is the day that Jesus will set right the broken things of this life. Life is not fair, my friends. Never has been. I love it when someone goes, "That's not fair." Well, probably not. I don't deny that. There's a lot of things that go on in our lives, whether brought on by us or brought on by others, or just brought on in general, that are not fair. If you're looking for a fair life, you're going to be a miserable person. Life is not fair. Justice is broken in our world. Judgment, like it was for Jesus, is broken in our world. This life does not shine on everybody. Some people suffer through this life with terrible afflictions. You know, you can go to the Talladega School for the Deaf and Blind, and there are children there that have never heard a bird sing, that have never seen a sun rise, and have never spoken a word, and it's not fair. Is it? But there is coming a day when they will hear. They will hear the archangel's trump sound. There is coming a day when they will see Jesus Christ in the air. And there is coming a day when they will everyone speak as they confess Him as Lord and Christ. See, Judgment Day is going to fix those things in this life that are not fair. Jesus Christ is going to set right. He's going to mend the brokenness of justice and justice in this world. And He will take those, you know, so oftentimes when we are mistreated and we want to take our own vengeance, we need to leave that to Jesus Christ. He will mend that. He will take care of that. He will do what is necessary in that. Romans 12 says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay. You do not do it. You do not return evil for evil, but you overcome evil with good." Mend lives. Don't tear them down. Justice is often broken, but not so much that it will not be mended by Jesus in the end. You know, life is often broken by death for us. Jesus mends that brokenness by being the resurrection and the life that Jesus proclaimed to Martha before He raised Lazarus from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? That's what He asked her. You believe me? You believe I can do that? You know, David, when he lost his son as a result of his sin with Bathsheba, he said, "I cannot do anything about him. He's gone. That life is, you know, he's dead. But I can go be with him." While it's broken here, there's a mending place later. Jesus Christ burst from that grave on Sunday morning, and that demonstrates His power over death and His power to mend lives broken by death. One day, I will die. These hands will stop moving. This mouth will stop speaking. Some people going, "I don't know about that." This mouth will stop speaking. These ears will no longer hear. These eyes will no longer see. This body will be lifeless, as the spirit that God gave to me will have been returned to Him. Yet if I have given myself to the One who conquered death, the One who is the resurrection and the life, I will rise again just as He did, never to die again. Death does not have to be something too broke to men. It is only too broke to men if death takes place outside of Jesus Christ. You know, it is in these times of death that oftentimes hope seems hard or even seems broken in our lives. And even in those times, may we walk like those beautiful women. May we walk in love to where Jesus is and find hope in ways that we could never imagine. I don't think they ever imagined in a moment in their mind that they'd get to that grave and He wouldn't be dead. But folks, if we give our trust to Jesus, He will do things. He will give us things. He will bless us in ways that we can't even begin to think about, that don't even enter into our minds. If we only trust in Him, we'll get there and we'll find out things are much different with Jesus than we thought they were when we started the walk. You know, the difference between despair and hope is one thing: God. The difference between frustration and fulfillment in this life is God. The difference between the death of Jesus on Friday and the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday is God. and the difference between the old life of failure and sin and the new life of victory and power and blessing is God. There is power for you. There is mercy for you. There is forgiveness for you. There is hope for you. There is life for you if you are willing to give your life to Him. No one here this morning is too broken for Jesus to mend. And you need to let Him, like Peter did, mend your life, to take you back, to bring you in to His will, to His kingdom, to what He has in store for you. Do as Peter did. Do not follow Judas's example and think that somehow your relationship's too broke to mend. Or to think that somehow your life can find mending outside of Jesus Christ, for it cannot. You know, as Michael said a few moments ago, so many people take today to think about what Jesus Christ did 1,984 years ago. I hope you do that more than once a year. I hope that every day that you wake up and you look in the mirror and you realize that you are alive for another day to serve God. And you realize all the many blessings that you have been given by Him. And you realize that the only hope in this life is in Him. I hope that you remember that He died, and that He rose, so that there would never be anything so broke in your life that it would be too broke to mend. This morning, if you are not a child of God, if you have not come to Christ in order to mend that broken relationship that your sins have put between you and God, see, sin separates us from God. It takes us away from that relationship. That's why we need to be redeemed, brought back. Once you come to Him today, come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, saying, I'm going to live as Christ would have me to live. See, that's what Peter did after that point. He lived as Christ would have him to live. He changed his ways. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, recognizing that, not only confessing that once at baptism, but confessing that by the life that we live for the rest of our lives. Be buried in baptism. Having your sins washed away, the thing that separates you from God, Jesus takes them with His blood, and He washes them from your life, and what was broken is mended. And you rise to be His, living for the day that you will rise to go home to be with Him. Oh, there's nothing greater. There's no greater hope. There's no greater thing. If you understand those things this morning, we hope and pray that you make the decision to do those. If you do not, we want to help you understand what God has said in His Word. It doesn't matter what Nathan says or thinks. It only matters what God says in His Word. We'd be glad to sit down with you and study with you and show you what the Bible says. Let you study it, see it for yourself, that you might obey Him in faith. This morning, if you're a Christian and maybe you have let your life get away from Christ, maybe you've walked away from the path that He has set forth, and you're not walking toward the tomb anymore, but you're going your own direction, turn around and go back toward Christ. Repent of those things. Confess those things. Know He's faithful and just to forgive you. If you need encouragement as you see your life mended by Christ, He'll mend it. Forgiveness mends it immediately, but sometimes the emotional mending and the difficulties around us, those things need mended too, and those take time and those need strength. We want to be that strength for you. If we can assist you in any way this morning in mending your life with Christ, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.